These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. In this way, St. Paul speaks very clearly about the way we can interact with the texts of the Old Testament, which it's so tempting to find boring and mundane. And why do we care about that? Don't we care about Jesus Christ? What else is there? But the truth of the matter is that us human beings, we're pretty dense. And we have a tendency to not accept something as true without precedent. When we've seen something before, then it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, that's true, isn't it? But if we've seen nothing like it before, it's easy for us, even if only in the back of our heads, to dismiss it as some random fable. And so all of the things that were recorded in the Old Testament, even though they may seem strange to us, are telling us something about Jesus Christ, and telling us in such a way as to convince us more firmly of the truth. And I think it is very appropriate then that this weekend's readings fall so close to Monday's feast day. On Monday, the 25th of March, we celebrate the Feast of the Annunciation, 9 months before Christmas. The celebration of that time that the angel Gabriel came with God's message to the Virgin Mary. And she accepted that message and became the mother of our Savior. This was the date of the conception of our Lord. And the fathers of the church presented one particular image in the Old Testament as really expressing this event well, and was precisely the burning bush. A bush that was on fire, and yet it was not consumed in any way by the fire. Where on earth could this fire come from without fuel? Indeed, this tells us of the Virgin Mary, who would be overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit and consumed with the power and holiness of God, who we might imagine would consume any sinner in flame. But here was Mary, totally consumed by the fire, but not burnt. Rather, she gave life to our Savior, who was God Himself. And in a more extended sense, we see that it shows us Jesus Christ, perfectly God and perfectly man, the humanity not destroyed by the divinity, and the divinity not lessened in any way by joining humanity to itself. This is the foundation of the good news of our salvation. Because I think when we think about how God can help us in our lives, it's easy for us to want to say to Him, Lord, just You do all the work. I don't have to do anything, right? Consume me. Get rid of all of this filth that's in me, or this weakness, and just Your power alone do it all. And while it is true that we do need to let God be the one in charge in our spiritual lives if we want to begin to flourish, to live that truly human and fulfilled life. But God wants us to play a part in it all. And we see this again in the Annunciation, where God brings the message through the angel to Mary. But Mary still has to say yes. She still has to say, let it be done unto me according to your word. We have to cooperate with God's grace, not letting it do all the work. But we see again an example of this in the story of Moses. And he might have learned this from the very example of the burning bush, to see that even though the grace of God, like fire, comes in and creates quite an example, it does not destroy what remains. And so, with Moses, God had a divine mission for him to free Israel from slavery in Egypt. And yet, Israel had to say yes to God's help, and that took a little effort. And as St. Paul relates to us, many of those who were saved continued to rebel in the desert and were destroyed. And it was only those who persevered with God's help, trusting in his promise of a promised land, that made it to the end. And this all fulfilling the words that Paul speaks. These things happened as an example for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. They happened as an example to us, as a warning to us, so that when God's word comes to us, when he shows us a way of going forward and doing his will, we don't give up hope. We don't reject what he has to say to us, but we say, yes, Lord, amen. I can't do it on my own, and I don't expect you, God, to do it all on my behalf. But with your help, I can do it with you. That is the message brought to us by the burning bush. That is the message given to us by the example of Mary, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, because she said yes. And both of these examples point to one statement that I recall from high school. I had an acquaintance who was trying to explain holiness to someone in class, and she was quoting St. Catherine of Siena, who said, if you become the person that God made you to be, you will set the world on fire. What a statement of hope and of the power of holiness. But it came out wrong. She said, St. Catherine of Siena said, if you become the person God made you to be, you'll set yourself on fire. And everybody was just laughing. And she had no idea why until someone explained it to her. But as funny as that is, I think it's not so far off the point. If we become what God meant us to be, his life begins to live in us, to kind of vibrate in us, make frequencies, amazing things. It's like there's a fire in us welling up to achieve greatness, a fire welling up to be an example to others, just like the burning bush was to Moses. Our example of living in this world but still being holy can cause people to ask, what's going on here? They're here, human like us, and yet there's something different about them. They have the holiness of God all around about them, and yet that doesn't destroy their humanity. I want some of that. What's going on? What a beautiful example if we let God's fire set us aflame and then show example to the whole world of the power of God to save us, not without us, but with us. Praised be Jesus Christ.